Hello, Falcoholics. What is up? Welcome to episode 201 of the Falcoholic Live. I am your host, Kevin Knight, here to bring you my takes from day three of Falcons training camp, the first day open to the public. There were a lot of fans there, despite it being, once again, oppressively hot and humid today. Luckily, the thunderstorms held off until this afternoon. So that's a good thing. There may be more storms in the forecast tomorrow. We will see. Hopefully they will hold off long enough for practice to take place for the fans. Regardless, I'll be following the team if they have to go indoors. But I was told if you are planning to go tomorrow, they will not cancel practice unless there is lightning. They will practice in the rain if it's just rain. If there is lightning, however, they will have to move it inside. So, you know, take that into your consideration when planning. Check the forecast before you leave, because there could be storms, but the hope is that they will hold off tomorrow. But on the topic of the Falcons' play on the field, not the weather, it was a good day. This was a very, I would say, entertaining practice, probably owing, of course, to the presence of fans being live at Flowery Branch. The team did their first sort of extended session of one-on-one drills. So that was nice to see, get to watch a lot of these guys go up and compete one-on-one. There was a particularly good rep from Kyle Pitts and Richie Grant, where you saw Richie Grant break up a pass intended for Kyle Pitts, which is obviously exciting to see. I know a lot of people are really hoping for big things from Grant, and of course that play was another great example of him really coming on and having a strong camp so far. You know, a little bit quiet on the first day, but otherwise strong and very encouraging, and that continued today absolutely, with the defense as a whole playing quite well, once again being the better of the two sides. Not to say that the offense was bad, just I think that the defense worked out to have more successful plays versus the offense, and the defense did win this sort of like competition at the end, where there was sort of like a mixed group of starters and reserves. Ritter was the quarterback, for example, but there were some starting receivers and things like that mixed in. And the defense held him to a three and out. They forced a sack coming from undrafted nose tackle Timmy Horn, who got the sack almost immediately. You know, sack, quote unquote, like he was in Ritter's face and they blew the play dead. There's no full contact and you don't really sack your quarterback in training camp. It's a big no-no, but it would have been a sack in a live game situation. Absolutely. Defense got pressure on another play, too, that forced a check down. And honestly, the offense bounced back in that final session. On the final play, I think they would let them sort of go and try to score, but the defense forced Ritter into a third and long. Ritter was able to buy some time on that final third and long play and was able to get the ball out to tight end quarterback extraordinaire Felipe Franks, who made a great catch. And Franks almost got there. He was very close to the first down marker, but he did not get there, and that was it. The defense held the offense to a three and out. Maybe in a live game situation, they would have gone for it. They did not let the offense go for it there. So that was impressive by the defense. It was good. The coverage was smothering once again. The run defense, I think, was better today. Overall, it was better than yesterday. They shut down the running game for large swaths of practice, and you sort of take from that whatever you want, because it's no full tackling. They sort of blow plays dead as soon as defenders get within like arm's length, or they lay a hand on guys. So like a lot of people have been asking me about Tyler Allgeier, for example, and you know, it's hard to sort of evaluate a player like Tyler Allgeier in this situation, because let's be honest, like, he is a tackle breaker. He's a physical style of running back. Those guys aren't going to look good in this sort of limited contact, no pad situation. So for those of you really looking to see, like, seriously what's going on with Tyler Allgeier, I would sort of focus your attention more on the padded practices, which will start on Monday, by the way. Arthur Smith did confirm that. So you don't have to wait too much longer to get a glimpse, I think, at the true power of guys like Tyler Allgeier, for example. But for now, you know, it's sort of hard to evaluate, and those speedier backs are going to shine more in the early part of training camp. All right, guys, give me one second here. I'm going to send a tweet. What's up, Robert Kelly? Anthony White, what's up, man? I do see your question. I will get to that in just one second. Let me just send out a tweet. You know, you guys like and subscribe, all that good stuff. Really appreciate everyone coming and hanging out tonight. I know there was short notice for the show. I wrapped up the notes like 10 minutes before 8. I was like, all right, I gotta do this on time. You know, everyone's expecting this right at 8, but thank you for showing up early, right after I posted it. You guys were just waiting. So 1 second here. Okay, there we go. That's it, I promise. That's the last tweet. That's the last tweet. We won't be interrupted by tweets anymore, I promise. But yeah, guys, do appreciate everyone for hanging out, coming in tonight. Let me get to Anthony White's question here. Anthony White says, hold on. Hopefully that's not like incredibly loud on the recording. What's good, Kevin? It's all good, man. Appreciate that, Anthony. Doing good here. Have you seen any of Marlon Davidson? If so, is he moving well? Thanks for what you do. Yeah, you're welcome, man. I have seen Marlon Davidson mixing in with the first string. It's honestly very difficult to evaluate these guys. These trench players right now with this limited contract situation. Limited contact situation. Unless it's like a super obvious sack, they don't blow the play dead usually. They do sometimes blow the play dead for time, but that's more of a coverage thing. So like, it's hard to evaluate like how, I mean, I would say that Marlon Davidson looks like he's moving around just fine. He looks healthy. This isn't like the best way for the best time to sort of evaluate that trench play. Honestly, you don't really get a great look at it until the preseason, because to be honest, they don't want these pass rushers going full steam against the quarterback. Like, they don't want anyone to hit the quarterback, even in full contact. There's not going to be sacks. Like, they will wrap up, you know, that they're not, you can't knock the quarterback down. It's a big no-no. So it's not like the best time for these guys to shine, the pass rushers. I will say the pressure overall from the defense was a lot better today. It was noticeable mostly against the like second team unit. I'll talk about the first string offensive line. It was a different combination again today. I thought that that combination, which I will talk about, I promise, I thought was better, like the best one we've seen so far. But overall, I think the pressure was more consistent from the defense, and they looked good. D'Angelo Malone, Bryce Rogers, the UDFA defensive tackle, and Timmy Horn, the UDFA nose tackle. In that final session I was talking about, all those guys were big contributors that helped the defense win at the end. So that's sort of an update on Marlon Davidson. He's been working with the starting group, sort of the 1-2 group. So it you know, he looks good. I haven't seen any sort of concerns about him. But again, it's just like, it's not a great situation to give these guys credit, you know, for what they're doing. It's hard for them to stand out. Right now, we're going to get a better look at the skill position guys, the corners and the receivers, and to some extent, the running backs and the pass-catching running backs and the pass-catching tight ends. This is the time for those guys. And then as the pads come on next week, we will get a better look at these trench players. I understand everyone wants to know about the trench players. I want to know about the trench players. But it's just, it's, you can only learn so much from like not full contact sort of practice situations. Good question though, for sure. We got Gurpal Singh. What's up, man? Welcome back. He says, want to know about Drake London. Today, Drake was good again today. I mean, it wasn't like yesterday. Yesterday, he was the star. Like, he was just the dominant player of the day, which is great to see. He was good today still. He definitely had a number of good catches. He was clearly one of the best receivers there. I would say Bryan Edwards had the catch of the day. If you've seen my timeline, my clip of Edwards versus Darren Hall, it was a terrific throw from Mariota. Hall had really tight coverage. Mariota put it in the perfect spot. Edwards adjusted to it, came down with the ball. Edwards had a very good day today as well. So those were, I would say, the two best sort of receivers, like pure receivers. I was very impressed by their play. And London did have a good day. It wasn't as good as yesterday, where he was like the number one offensive player, basically. But it was good. It was good. All right. We got Corey Carter. Heard that. Welcome back, Corey. Appreciate you, man. Heard that Richie Grant was holding his own against Kyle Pitts today. He was, man. You know, I would say that pass that he broke up in the end zone was like slightly underthrown, but I mean, a lot of people were like dunking on it, like the pass was bad. Like, no, I mean, I think the pass was fine. Richie Grant really did close on it well and play the ball really well. You know, I think as Mariota. I'm still doing the Mariota thing. What I'm going to do is Marcus Mariota. That's what I got to do to get this down. Because now, unlike before, when I would never run into the guy, I do have to, like, see him every day at practice. So if I butcher his name, like, he will know. Marcus Mariota, as he gets more comfortable playing with Kyle Pitts, I think that where to put the ball, like, he knows he can put it a little bit higher, you know, a little bit further out, because Kyle Pitts has that tremendous sort of insanely big catch radius. So he can put it out there a little bit more than he would for, like, 90%+ of receivers. Kyle Pitts can go get that. That could give him a little bit extra space against DBs that are good and playing tight coverage. I think that's something that's going to grow and evolve as they get more reps together. Grant was definitely impressive today. And Corey also asked about Elijah Wilkinson, and that's a good opportunity for me to talk about this offensive line grouping. Like I said, it was a different combination once again today. There have been three different combinations so far. One second, I'm getting a little, you know, a lot of words coming out, not a lot of liquid going in. So one second here. When I got on here, which hopefully we'll be back to starting tomorrow, you know, it's easy because I can, like, take a breath and have someone else, you know, talk for a few, you know, 20, 30, 40 seconds. You know, it's easy to do. But when it's just me, it's like constant go, go, go. Trying to get as much information out as possible in a short period of time. So thank you guys for your patience. So the combination today was Jake Matthews at left tackle. Elijah Wilkinson once again at left guard. So it's two straight days of him playing left guard. Drew Dahlman was back at center. So now Dahlman has been the starting center for two out of the 3 days, and there were no other changes. So really the only changes so far have been at left guard and center. Right tackle has remained Caleb McGarry for all 3 days. I believe we'll see Jermaine Ifedi at some point. I don't know when or how. It seems like maybe that's the most secure of the three battles, which I'm surprised by, but it could also be that they're just trying to do sort of one revolving door at a time. Like, they don't want to... Revolving three guys at once is a lot. That's a lot of moving pieces. So I think to me, it does make sense if they're trying to do, like, we're going to rotate the left side sort of first, figure out maybe at least center. And then once we've got that figured out, we'll start rotating right tackle so that at least there's some level of stability out there. And, like, I think it's smart to only switch around one guy at a time too. Like, Elijah Wilkinson stayed in and then Drew Dahlman went back in. They only really changed one player from day to day. That'll help limit too much mixing and matching and, like, losing out on, you know, just you want to get some level of chemistry with these guys. And I would say that I thought this starting group, this starting five, was the best. Was the best group in terms of, you know, I thought this was the best combination so far. I thought they looked better in pass pro in particular. And then, you know, the run game sort of struggled today. It wasn't like it was bad. I think the first team line did open a few holes. The defense shut it down pretty well otherwise. But I think this was the best group in my opinion so far. We'll see if that continues, and how much more shuffling they do or that sort of thing. But so far, you know, I like this group. Did Mayfield have to run due to a false start penalty? I don't know if it was Mayfield. It may have been him. I didn't get a great look at who actually false started. Someone definitely did false start, and Arthur Smith was really upset. He made him run off the field, I think. But I didn't honestly get a great look at the numbers. I believe it was an offensive lineman of some kind. I don't know. But definitely something to monitor. I don't know for sure if it was Jalen Mayfield. If someone reported that it was Mayfield, then maybe they saw it and I didn't. Could be. But I can't say personally that I saw Mayfield do it. Who do I want to start on the offensive line? I guess I would say, you know, I have to see more from Wilkinson. I mean, in an ideal world, like, say that, like, every guy that I want to start is actually good. Like, I would like Jalen Mayfield to start if he's actually improved. Like, if he's improved, I think Jalen Mayfield is the guy they want to start. It's the guy I'd want to start. He's young, under contract, you know, for a very, very affordable price tag for three more seasons. You know, got a lot of developmental potential. So if Mayfield's good, I would want him to start at left guard. Where I really wanted to see the change was kind of more at right tackle. I sort of like the pass protection ability of Jermaine Ifedi a little bit more than I like Caleb McGarry's run blocking. That's just my opinion, but... again, we will have, okay, if Rothstein said it, then I would trust that that is what happened, for sure. I personally didn't see it, but Rothstein's not going to say it unless he saw it, I'm sure. So, he's got binoculars, so sometimes he can see the numbers a little bit better than me. So if Rothstein said it, then it probably was Jalen Mayfield. So, you know, maybe Elijah Wilkins starts, another day. You know, we'll see. But yeah, it's a good group. I would want Mayfield to start if he's good. That would be the qualifier. At center, I'm really torn. I want whoever's better. I am a fan of Matt Hennessy. I was a really big fan of his coming out of the draft. I think he's a good player. I'm hoping that he will be a good player. I don't really have a strong preference between Dahlman and Hennessy. I think they both look like good players to me. I think they can both play center at a above average or better level at the NFL, but we just have to see who wins it. So that one I'm really sort of agnostic on. And then right tackle, I was pulling for Jermaine Ifedi. So that would be where I'm leading there. That's the one that I was really hoping to see the big change at. I would be open to a free agent addition at left guard too. Like Eric Flowers, I would love that. I think he'd probably be better than anything that Mayfield could muster, because he was top 15 guard last year or something like that, according to PFF. So, you know, that would be a big upgrade. But short of that, you know, we'll see how that goes. All right. I literally just finished these notes. So I'll look through it real quick to make sure that I get everything. Some, I know guys are asking about the linebackers, and that does bring me to my second biggest point, which was that Troy Andersen was, you know, everyone's hoping to see stuff from Troy Andersen, right? Second round pick, perfect 10 RAS. He's a flashy sort of guy. This is the part in camp where I think he could really stand out. And honestly, this was his day. Like he stood out in a big way. He got to work with the starters a little bit. He mostly works with the 3-4 sort of reserve group, but he does get reps with the starters too. Like, not a lot, but some. And he was out there making plays with the starters for sure. Marcus Mariota was able to use his legs a lot more today. I wonder if they were encouraging him to do that or sort of saying like, okay, you can do that today. And Mariota was quite effective with it, I would say. You know, I don't think the team was used to defending that, especially the veterans on this team that are used to covering Matt Ryan's scrambles. Matt Ryan didn't run in practice. Yeah, that's just not something he was going to do. So Mariota escaped. It was a passing play. It was designed passing play. Mariota didn't really see anything open, so he sort of left the pocket, and then he saw a big running lane. It took off, and it was going to be a touchdown. But then you see Troy Andersen, you know, if you were watching it on like tape, you would just see like Troy Andersen come from out of the frame and like track him down and stop him. And he limited it to it was hard to gauge the exact yardage. It was probably like a 30 or 40 yard run, which is still really good for Mariota. But that was impressive. Obviously, Mariota's a fast quarterback. Like he ran in the low 4.5. So this is a very fast quarterback. And Andersen gained on him fast and was able to track him down. So that's really impressive. He was also really darn good in coverage. Tyler Allgeier is who he was covering on this play. And I would not say that Tyler Allgeier is a particularly difficult assignment in coverage for someone like Troy Andersen, because Allgeier's not the fastest or the biggest or whatever. I will say that Allgeier has good hands, and the ball was thrown very well by Ridder. It was right where it needed to be. But Andersen just smothered it. Like, Allgeier had a step, and Ridder threw it, and then Andersen closed it immediately, and just sort of, I mean, he was just so, like, overwhelmingly big and tight in the coverage. Like, there was just no chance for the completion. Like, he just sort of smothered it and knocked the ball away easily. And that is what he can do in coverage. Against running backs, he's too big, and he's honestly going to be faster than, like, 90% of running backs. He can smother them. You know, if he get on those deep plays, like he's going to take away that part of the offense's game. You're not gonna be able to get away with that stuff with Andersen in coverage. And then against tight ends, which he didn't work against as much today. He did work a little bit. He got a play against Kyle Pitts a couple days ago, that I thought was like solidly covered, you know, considering, but against tight ends, like he's just faster than them. He's faster than Kyle Pitts too, like technically by 0.02 of a second. So not meaningfully faster, but in the same tier, I guess you could say, in terms of speed. But the vast majority of NFL tight ends do not run in the 4.4s. They run in, you know, the fastest ones run in the 4.5s. So, Troy Anderson is going to be able to keep up and smother those tight ends as well. You know, he's not as big as them necessarily, so that advantage isn't as pronounced. But he is a big linebacker. He's like a 6'3", 250 linebacker. So this is not a small linebacker like a Deion Jones. It's going to struggle to cover those tight ends because they have a size advantage. He's sort of, and that's why they drafted him in the second round. Like, he is a perfectly sized, elite, unique athlete that can erase the opponent's tight end or running back, whichever one's most dangerous in coverage. The run game stuff is going to have to develop. Like, this is a guy that is coming from Montana State, an FCS team, a good FCS team, certainly, but the finer points of playing linebacker are not there for him yet. They will get there eventually, I imagine. This is a guy that has played three positions so far, been an all-conference player at each one. I'm confident in his ability to learn a position and play it. That's something that he is clearly able to do. The NFL is a different beast. It's more complicated. There's a lot more that goes into playing defense at the NFL level. But again, he's a very talented player. I think he's very smart. So it's sort of, when do you think it's going to happen? Do I think it's going to happen week one? No. Do I think it's going to happen by midseason? There's a chance. And do I think it's going to happen by the end of the season? I think Troy Anderson will be playing by the end of the season on defense for sure. Will he be playing like super well? I don't know. But in terms of his ability to impact the game in coverage, I think he will have a role there as soon as he's ready. And it's just hard to keep athletes like that off the field. And like what we're saying about Desmond Ridder coming in once this team is eliminated from the playoffs, I guess if they are, you know, but they probably will be. And when that happens, like, I think that would be obviously a good time to insert some of the young guys that aren't necessarily getting reps. And Anderson is another example of a guy that probably would get a chance to play a lot in that scenario. Because as much as this coaching staff seems to like guys like Rashawn Evans, who so far has been like the starter that started the most at linebacker, I would say, like, he's played the most snaps of anyone at linebacker. And Nick Kwiatkowski has certainly been factoring in. Michael Walker's been factoring in. All three of those guys have played a lot of snaps with the starters. Anderson is going to mix in there. And those guys on the one-year deals, you know, your Nick Kwiatkowski's and your Rashawn Evans, you might like those guys. But those guys, they may or may not be back next year. And Troy Anderson is a long, long, long-term fixture for this team if he works out. So they're going to get him in there as soon as he's able to contribute. And it could be pretty early. So great day from Anderson. Everything I've wanted to see so far. This is the time in camp where he's going to impress and look really good. You know, no pads, not really full contact. He doesn't really have to actually break down and make a tackle, you know, and like the angles aren't great for him, but when you're that athletic, you don't have to have a perfect angle. Like, he has a cheat code. Like, in the NFL, you have to either be really smart and instinctual at linebacker, which is how some guys do it, or you have to be really athletic. And if you're really smart and instinctual, you're a step ahead of everyone, even the athletic guys, because you read the play, you know what's happening, you have that sort of sixth sense, you just know the game so well, you're so experienced, you can react before normal people can react, and you can get there earlier. But when you're super-duper athletic to the level that Troy Anderson is, like, you could be a step late and still catch up to stuff because of how explosive you are and how fluidly you change direction, how much range you have. It's a cheat code. So when you're that athletic, it's really hard to say, well, you can't do this if you don't have good instincts, because you know that instincts are required. And instincts are really important, certainly, especially against the run. But again, when you're that athletic, the sky's the limit. Who says how much? He needs to develop some level of that, but how much he needs is probably lower, I guess is what I'm trying to say, than a mediocre athlete or even a good athlete at linebacker. He doesn't need as much of that to get on the field because of how athletic he is. Like, he can overcome mistakes. He's got a bailout. He's got a trump card because he's so damn fast, you know, so big and so fast. Like, he can make plays that others can't. So that's where we're at with Troy Anderson. Very encouraging so far, certainly. Yes, Laney Gums asked, when's the first padded practice? Everyone has said that it is Monday, and that's correct. Arthur Smith confirmed today that the first padded practice will be on Monday. So we got that to look forward to, for sure. quick interlude here to remind you guys to please like and subscribe. Really appreciate that. If you're so inclined, you can help donate to the training camp fund. I really appreciate that. I do have to pay out of pocket for all travel expenses. My travel is not covered. But in my opinion, training camp is too important. Like, I don't care. You know, I got to get down here. I got to cover it. It's important to me to bring the coverage to you. I think it's important for my career to do it. So I just sort of have to fund it. And, you know, shout out to Dave Choate, who is going to do his best to get me some funding. Maybe even out of his own pocket, you know. And I'm not trying to call out, you know, anyone or our shadowy corporate overlords or anything like that. But, you know, we're not getting our travel covered. So I do depend to some extent on you guys. And you guys have been terrific. The support has been awesome. So, you know, if you're interested in doing so, the link to that's in the show description, streamlabs.com/thefalcoholic/tip. If you need a link, let me know. I'll throw it in the chat. You can also help support us on Patreon, patreon.com/falcoholiclive. That will get you access to ad-free, high-quality versions of all the podcast, all the live show recordings. They come out earlier, too, than the podcast feed, usually the night that the show airs instead of the morning after. So if you're really into the podcast, you get benefit from the Patreon, too. You get access to live Q&A sessions exclusive to patrons. And, of course, the big seller seems to be the Patreon Fantasy Leagues, which are filling up. Obviously, there's no limit. You know, I say filling up because we have a lot of people interested in joining. But if you're interested in getting in, we will find a spot for you. All tiers have access to the Fantasy League, so you could sign up anytime between now and, I think, week one of the preseason is probably the latest you can do it and still get in, because we're probably going to have the drafts the second week of the preseason. But thank you guys so much for all your support. And if you don't want to donate, that's totally fine. This stream will always be free. Content will always be free. I'm trying to keep the ads off the channel. I think YouTube's putting them on anyway, but what can you do? We just appreciate you guys. So if you don't want to donate, maybe you could donate your like and your subscribe. That would be very helpful as well. So thank you guys. All right. DK, what's up, man? Welcome. Welcome, DK. First time joining in. Shout out to him. We did get a new patron, too, yesterday. So I wanted to make sure to welcome Daniel first as well. Welcome, Daniel. Thank you for joining up, man. Really appreciate you. Welcome to the club. So moving on to the next take. And that is about Marcus Mariota. I mentioned it, you know, earlier that he was running very well, which is something we haven't seen from him so far in training camp, but that sort of aspect of his game was unlocked today. That was very impressive. You could tell he's really fast, tell he's a really good athlete. But again, like, my expectations for Marcus Mariota were that I thought he would be fairly average, that he would sort of keep the offense on schedule, that he'd be sort of mediocre. You know, that's what we've all been led to believe about Marcus Mariota, because that's what the prevailing wisdom was. You know, oh, he was benched in Tennessee. You know, he's been a backup for 2 years. That means he can't possibly be a good quarterback, right? Well, I don't know about that. I would say to you, based on what I've seen over the first 3 days, which is my first look at Marcus Mariota. I haven't seen him in OTAs or anything like that. This is my first time being down here this year. I've been impressed, really impressed. Mariota has been sharp. He's been in command. He clearly knows the playbook. He's comfortable. He's making reads quickly and efficiently. You know, and like, sometimes that means he's checking it down, you know, but a lot of these guys, when they get in this new system, they just sit there and hold the ball. They don't know where to go. They don't know how the play is developing, or they just start chucking picks. And like, I've told you, the Falcons coverage has been really good, but they haven't gotten a lot of picks. They have one so far in 3 days. And you look around the NFL, right? And you see all these stories about, oh, these guys are getting all these picks. I think like the 49ers secondary has like 6 picks already and all this. It's not just about how good the defense is or how many ball hawks are in your secondary. That's part of it. The other part of it is that Mariota, and to an extent, and Desmond Ridder too, like, these guys are not putting the ball in harm's way. Like, they are taking care of the football. They're checking it down when they need to. They're throwing it away when they need to. And they're scrambling when there's an advantage there. And I would say that the defense overall has been better. Like, they have limited the big gains in coverage. They've covered very well. And honestly, that makes me even feel better about how Mariota has done this, because he's not getting desperate. You know, he's sort of taking what the defense gives him and looking really sharp in the process. And honestly, like, I wouldn't say that, you know, it's hard to compare him and Ryan, right? I think the only way you could do that is if Ryan was here and he was playing in the same situation as Ryan. But, like, I was expecting it to be, like, a huge drop-off. Like, oh, Matt Ryan's a pro's pro. He looks great. You know, Ryan also makes great decisions and doesn't turn the ball over in practice very often. And, like, I was expecting more of a drop-off, I guess. And so far, I haven't seen as much of a drop-off. Ryan is a better passer. He doesn't offer the on-the-ground stuff, which really was only uncorked today, to be honest. So I guess the drop-off hasn't been as severe as I was thinking, and I think that should excite people that there is a chance, I think, and every good practice that Mariota strings together here gives me hope that there's a legitimate chance that Marcus Mariota is a good starter here. And you know, better than expected. Like, he's not the 31st. I'm going to go on record right now and say that Marcus Mariota is better than the 31st overall quarterback. I think he's going to end up a lot closer to 20 than 30. I don't think he's going to be a world beater. I don't think this offense is going to be great, but he's done enough so far that I think it gives me confidence that this offense is going to be watchable. It's going to be competently quarterbacked, maybe not quarterbacked at a super high level, but it'll be quarterbacked at a level that's not going to hold it back. Is it going to boost it up like Matt Ryan did so many times to a higher level? I don't think so, but I think it will be well run. And if Arthur Smith is a sharper play caller this year, if the weapons are in place, and most importantly, if the offensive line can hold up, this could be, you know, I hesitate to say decent, but like a passable offense, right? Especially if the running game gets going, that sort of thing. This could be closer to like the 20th best offense than the 32nd, which is what a lot of people are like predicting. The quarterback play, I don't think, is going to be that bad. The question with Mariota, obviously, is the health. Can he hold up over the whole season? That I can't tell you. You know, no one can. So if you're worried, you know, about his health, that's understandable. That is always going to be sort of hanging over the team. That's why Desmond Ridder's here. And on that note, moving the discussion to Desmond Ridder, like, Ridder hasn't been as good as Mariota. That's why they, you know, quote unquote, named Mariota the starter yesterday or the day before or whatever it was. Mariota is clearly a step above, but it's only one step. Like, I really, really like the way they're running the practice. Like, for all of the receiver drills, tight end drills, you know, tight end receiver drills, whatever, all the running back drills, the handoffs, the pitches, they have Desmond Ridder, Marcus Mariota standing right next to each other, and they have the respective skill position players running their prescribed route for the drill in a mirrored situation. So this is the same route on either side of the field. And every rep, Mariota and Ridder switch sides. So over the course of, you know, they do it on one side of the field and they go to the other side of the field, do it in reverse. Over the course of that drill, Mariota and Ridder have thrown on both sides of the field the same amount of times and have thrown at least once to every single skill position player in the drill. Everyone. So it's not like Ritter's stuck with the 3-4s the whole time, never thrown to Drake London, and that Mariota's not ever throwing to these depth guys or whatever. Like, they are making sure these guys get the same exact preparation. And to be fair, like, when they do split to the pods is what I'm calling them, like the 1-2 starter pod and the 3-4 depth pod, Ridder does play with the depth pod. Mariota plays with the starters. So when they do that, Mariota's getting those starters reps, which is makes sense because he is the starter. But when they're doing the drills, when they're doing team session, like full teamwork, Ridder and Mariota are basically interchangeable in the offense. And, like, honestly, I wrote this in my article, like, usually I have to look at the clip and look at the jersey to know who the pass is coming from, because most of the time you can't just tell. Like, it's not like Ritter's passes are terrible and Mariota's are great or vice versa. You know, for the most part, both guys are delivering the ball where it needs to be, doing a good job. So it's not obvious necessarily who is throwing the ball unless you look. I think that's a compliment. I mean, it is a compliment. Like, and I think the team is handling this the right way. And I think this is honestly why we haven't seen another quarterback added, because why change it? Like, why mess with it, right? You've got enough reps for these two quarterbacks. They both get a ton of work. You know, they're both getting the same preparation. Why add a third arm into the mix to just take reps away from one of these guys? It's not necessary. Maybe in the preseason you want a guy to go get creamed in the fourth quarter or whatever. Maybe they make poor Felipe Franks do it. I don't know. But I think it's really smart. I really like the way they're handling these two quarterbacks. And it means that, like, if Ritter had to come in, he would be ready to go. Like, this isn't like we have practice squad guy and starter, and that will change during the season, to be fair. Like, when they have a very limited amount of practice reps, the starter is going to play with the starters, and the backup is going to play with the reserves. That's how it goes. You know, that's how it goes when you get into in season. But because they're both getting all this work in the you know, training camp and preseason, I think it's not really going to matter that Ritter's getting limited reps with the starters in season, because he's got all of the background, all of the groundwork laid. So that's sort of how I feel about that. I'm really complimentary of the way that they're handling that stuff. So take from that whatever you will. Maybe you call me a homer. Maybe you say I'm too negative on the team. You know, a couple months ago you probably would have said that. But I'm just calling it like I see it. And so far I've liked what I see from these guys. Okay, hold on. I got to read this name. I don't know. There, it's all lowercase. You guys saw it pop up on the screen. It's all lowercase. So, is Sandy 40, or is Sandy Ford the fourth? Isan Difford the fourth? I don't know. Let me know what it's supposed to be. With the $20 though, thank you so much, man. Really appreciate that. Thank you for all the training camp coverage, man. You're so welcome. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your donation. Appreciate that. Evan, Kevin, how does it feel to be awesome? It feels great, Evan. Thanks, man. You know, we're gonna have to get you up here pretty soon, director of guest personnel. Evan, you know, Evan needs more love, guys. If you come up to Evan on the street, make sure you shout him out, because apparently people are shouting me out on the street. But Evan needs the love too, man. Director of guest personnel. And Evan, while you're here, I honestly didn't get the guy's name. He works for the Falcons. He's one of their video guys, I believe. Really wanted to give you a shout out, Evan, and the show a shout out for having Patrick DeMarco on. He loved the episode. He loves Patrick DeMarco, and he really, really appreciated that we had him on. He also appreciated that, you know, DeMarco was complimentary of the team, obviously, but he really appreciated that. I appreciated you getting him and all the other guests. So thank you, Evan. Thanks to Patrick DeMarco also for coming on. All right. Let me scroll a little bit, because I went on a bit of a tangent there on the quarterbacks. But, you know, it's worth saying. It was worth saying. If you guys have any questions, you can throw them in the chat. I try to get to some. You know, sometimes I go on a tangent. If you have an absolutely burning question, like I said, you could donate at the Streamlabs link, streamlabs.com/thefalcoholic/tip. That the link is actually in the show description if you want to make sure you have the right one. So if you donate with a question, I am contractually obligated to read it. So if you have a question that you absolutely have to have answered, that's one way to make sure it gets done. But also like and subscribe, you know, all that good stuff. Jalen Horton, Geronimo impressed. Yeah, I mean, I thought Geronimo, like, looked good in his reps. He didn't get targeted extensively in, like, the team drills. But what I did notice is that he sort of graduated to the 1-2 starters group, or at least he was when he was doing the team breakout sessions. I don't know if it's permanent. And Auden Tate went down to the 3-4 group. I think they're going to rotate guys in and out. I don't think it's permanent, you know, necessarily. Both guys did work with the starters, you know, in team work, you know, at the end of practice, you know, when they do the 7-on-7 and 11-on-11s, those guys all work with the starters too. So, like, I don't know how meaningful it is, but that Allison did get an opportunity to work more with the 1 and 2s. I think that's a good sign for him, considering that, you know, he was a mini camp tryout just a couple months ago that they ended up signing. So that's impressive work for him. Corey Carter-Hodge seems to be gaining momentum. Yeah, I mean, I would say that Kadarryl Hodge has been absolutely solid. I think every day he's made like a handful of plays. He hasn't really been like standing out at the high end like Drake London. He hasn't necessarily been dropping a bunch of passes like Frank Darby on day one dropped a lot of passes and drills, but he's rebounded and has been solid since then. You know, I'm not trying to dunk on Frank Darby, but like he hasn't been on one end of the spectrum or the other. He's sort of been right in the middle, which I think that's all he needs to do. Like he needs to be that wide receiver five level receiver and just do his thing on special teams where he might be the best special teams player on the team. So that's sort of where he is. I think he's doing everything he needs to do to make the roster. It's really just down to like, does Auden Tate keep rising and demanding that he's going to be the last receiver on the roster, or do they just decide to keep six and be done with that whole noise? Maybe. Yeah, definitely. Get me Ricardo Allen, Evan, you know. Yeah, no, I think Evan's right, though. I think Allen actually does have a coaching role with Miami, and they definitely won't let him talk to us during the season, especially. Joe Schmo, what's up, man? Joe is our resident long-form commenter, always dropping the knowledge in the comments. Appreciate that, Joe. Joe really knows his X's and O's. It's fun to read his comments every week. So shout out to Joe asking, who's looked best at the nickel spot on defense? Yeah, Joe, honestly, it's been Mike Ford, I think. And also, and to couch that a little bit, I think Isaiah Oliver isn't quite back to full speed. He is playing extensively. He is out there for all the reps, but he's still wearing his knee brace. I'm sure they're telling him to take it easy and all that. And he's still working with the starters a good amount and all that. But there is a rotation there. Mike Ford, Isaiah Oliver, and then sometimes Darren Hall. I would say Darren Hall's playing more on the outside over the last 2 days, but he does factor into the slot sometimes. I've been impressed with Mike Ford. I think our expectations for him were pretty low. You know, thinking that he's probably like Kadarrell Hodge, like mostly a special teams guy, a really impactful gunner, you know, kick coverage sort of player. So all he really needed to do was be like a serviceable depth corner. And he's getting a lot of reps with the starters. And I think he's playing like well enough to definitely secure his roster spot in the slot. Like, he's broken up some passes. He's been active. He hasn't really gotten burned or, you know, he's given up some passes too, but this is a guy that like is a sort of low end roster player. Or at least that was sort of the expectation. And I think he has really solidified himself as like a roster favorite, considering we know what he can do on special teams. You know, maybe the danger is that he plays too well, becomes the starting slot guy, and then he can't play special teams because he's the starting slot core. But, you know, I'm not worried about that yet. All right. Ant White with the $20. Thank you so much, man. Really appreciate that. He says, appreciate you doing your thing down in Atlanta with the coverage, Kevin. You're welcome, man. Appreciate that. He says, what good food spots have you hit up since you've been there? I've definitely been to Waffle House. I'm probably going to go to Waffle House again after the show because there's one like really close to my uncle's house here in Snellville. So I'll probably hit that up again. You know, they're open late. It takes like 2 seconds. Like I went in there the other night and like I sat down at the counter and the cook took my order and was like, yeah, I'll get it to you in like 3 minutes. And so I was in and out of there in like a second. That's always nice. Especially considering, like, I have to get, like, for these public practice days, you know, pull back the curtain here. Like, I got there at, like, 8:30 today, and the lot was full. I had to park, like, an eternity away. So I'm going to have to get there. If I want to park in the media lot, I'm going to have to get there at, like, 8 o'clock tomorrow. So I got to get up pretty early. In terms of good food spots, I've been to Buffalo Wild Wings, like, pretty much every day. That's not really, like, a local delicacy or anything. But the B-dubs at the Mall of Georgia is, like, 18 or so minutes from Flowery Branch, the practice field. So I usually flee there to upload all my clips. The Wi-Fi is good, you know, and Buffalo Wild Wings, fast break lunch, man. You know, that's good value. And those $3 tall beers, you know, hey, can't beat that, you know, on a limited budget considering, like I said, my travel's not paid for. But Aunt White, you just bought me lunch. So, you know, thank you very much for that, man. Appreciate that. I did go to a place, I think it was like Summit's West Wayside Tavern or Summit's West Side Tavern. It was just like a little local place. I think it was like in Lawrenceville or something. And they had like 50 taps on the wall. So that was cool. That was a nice place. Pretty low key. That other than that, it's basically been like B-dubs and Waffle House. But on Sunday, I'm going to try to get someplace. And I think I'm going to go to Mooney's in Flowery Branch on Monday. I've heard that's good. So I'm looking forward to that too. If you guys have, you know, restaurant recommendations. I know people said the Varsity. I've been to places, like I've been to like Bacchanalia and stuff, like really fancy places before. My wife Caroline is from Atlanta. She lived here for a long time. So I've been to a lot of these like places in Atlanta in the past, just not recently. So if you guys have recommendations, for sure, hit me up. I love Yeah Burger. I think it closed, though. There were multiple Yeah Burgers, I think, in Atlanta. I think they closed. Maybe they're back open now. I don't know. But that was good. I really liked that place, too. So we'll see. All right. We got Jalen Horton asking, do I think the lacrosse guy, a.k.a. undrafted wide receiver Jared Bernhardt, do I think he makes the team? It's gonna be really hard for Bernhardt to make the 53. Honestly, I haven't seen him getting any reps with the kick returners. They were like sort of pumping him up after the signing as like signing him to return kicks. I honestly haven't seen him return any kicks at all, you know, so we'll see if that changes. But I think they like him at receiver more now. Like they're like, oh wait, this guy actually can play receiver. So I mean, I've been impressed. I think he's certainly done enough to sort of earn a practice squad spot consideration there. I think making the roster would be pretty difficult for the aforementioned reasons that we're talking about. Like, oh, is Auden Tate or Kadarius Hodge, you know, these like vested veterans, are they even going to be able to make it? Like one of them might get cut. So at that point, you know, I think it's really hard. It's going to be really hard for any of these sort of depth receivers to make it. So it's nothing against Bernhardt. I think he's had a pretty good camp so far, but I think he's sort of shooting for the practice squad. And I think he's got a good shot right now. I would slot him in there. You know, I've had to shuffle my squad predictions a little bit because Brandon Lennius got cut, you know, and just sort of now actually seeing these guys. And I would definitely say that I will have, in my next prediction, I will almost certainly have Bernhardt in there as one of my three practice squad receivers. He's been impressive. He has been good, like much better than you would think for a guy that's like barely played football before. So, Hal Snipe says, try Slutty Vegan. That does sound interesting. And shout out to Jeremy S. Thanks heaps for the awesome training camp recaps. You're welcome, man. He says, I am also from Australia. It's 11 a.m. right now. That's awesome. Shout out to Australia. I haven't been there before. It sounds really cool. Sounds like it'll be a good time. So, you know, maybe someday I'll hit that up. Maybe if the NFL ever has a game out there, I'll go hit it up. So, welcome. Thanks for coming in, man. Let me get to the rest of my notes here. We talked about the offensive line. The running backs I did want to touch on. Not for the rushing, but for the pass catching. These running backs, extensive use in the passing game. I'll preface this by saying, like, I don't know how much of this is like, there's no full contact. They know they can't really get a great look at the running game without full contact and pads and all this. So maybe they're leaning more towards using the backs in the receiving game, because you can actually evaluate that a lot better right now, which would be smart. It could also be a sign that they really are focusing on using the running backs in the passing game, which wouldn't shock me at all either, because if you remember last year, obviously Cordarrelle Patterson was a big factor there. Mike Davis caught a ton of passes out of the backfield. You know, that he was, I believe, like the, in terms of, I'm going to look it up, because I think he was like one of the team's like leading receivers in terms of actual catches. Yeah, Mike Davis was the fourth leading receiver on the team with 44 receptions. Cordarrelle Patterson was third with 52. So those two running backs were the, you know, third and fourth highest catches on the team. I don't think that will necessarily repeat itself in turn. You know, Patterson's going to get a lot of catches, but we know he's more like a hybrid guy. You know, I don't know if a running back is going to necessarily, other than Patterson, like get that volume of catches again. But like, I will say that all of these running backs, like every single one on the roster, Damian Williams, Tyler Allgeier, Quadri Olsen, Caleb Huntley, you know, all of these guys have shown that they can catch the ball. None of them have had any drops as far as I could tell, like nothing egregious. They've all caught the ball well. They're not all dynamic threats with the ball. I would say right now, Avery Williams has been the most impressive in that regard in terms of the guys that you wouldn't expect. Like, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson, obviously we all know what he's going to do. But Avery Williams, you know, this is a guy that's just started playing running back again. I think the last time he played it was like in high school. He's come out and I think really impressed as a runner, like as a pass catcher. They moved him into the slot. They, you know, had him catch passes out of the backfield. He was operating as sort of a relief valve, like a good running back should. I mean, he looks like a natural receiver, and we know that he's very dangerous in the open field. He can make guys miss. He's really damn fast. I think he ran in the 4.3s at the combine. So this is a guy that he could be a very dangerous receiving option out of the backfield. You know, the only thing with Williams is, like, pass protection. You know, his rushing ability, honestly, does it matter that much? I don't think so. Like, it would be nice if he could run the ball too, but I mean, look at guys like Theo Riddick. This is like running backs that don't really run the ball, that are just weapons in the passing game. They exist and they can be very effective. Really, it's the pass pro, right? If Avery Williams is going to be a factor on third downs, he has to be able to pass protect. And I know Aaron Freeman mentioned in one of his special teams episodes that a really strong and secure path to the roster for Avery Williams could have him involved as the personal protector on punts, as a way to sort of gauge how his pass blocking is coming along. And, you know, if he can be a good pass protector, he could be a good personal protector. And that adds to his value, because now he's a returner. Now he's your personal protector. Now he's a good pass blocker and receiver out of the backfield. All of a sudden you have a guy like, oh, this is a guy that you're definitely keeping on the roster. Like, he's doing a lot of things for you. He's very valuable. So that's, I think, his path. Early on, I don't know how much he's actually going to play on offense, but it is a good sign that he's getting a lot of work out of the backfield in terms of catching the ball. And, like, he's looked fine as a runner, but again, it's not full contact. I think Avery Williams is the kind of running back that, you know, could light it up early in camp and then disappear once the pads come on. I'm not saying that will for sure happen or anything, but, you know, I would hesitate to really praise his rushing ability until we see what happens later in camp. And then the other guy I would mention, like Damian Williams, we all know he's a good receiver, and he has looks like a good receiver and a good runner. So Damian Williams, if Algier should falter or if there should be an injury or whatever, Damian Williams looks like he's ready to take on a significant part of the committee, a significant role if needed. I think that they will try to give those early down carries to someone like Tyler Algier, who, like I said, his running style is more likely to show up once the pads come on, and we'll see how that looks, you know, in a couple days. But I like what I've seen from all these running backs. They all look like they can catch, including Algier. So that's a good sign, I think. And we're seeing a lot of movement with the running back too, which I like in terms of schematic stuff. Like, they were motioning the running back to see, you know, the defensive alignment and what kind of coverage are they playing, that sort of thing. And they were, you know, obviously with Patterson, we saw it. They would routinely motion out Patterson to play out wide. And that frequently put defenses in binds, like, oh, are we going to, because generally a corner in certain calls, the corner is supposed to take the guy that's on the outside. Generally, that would be like an X receiver, right? But if you motion a running back, a fullback, a tight end, whatever, out to that final spot, not only does that give you a clue about what sort of coverage they're playing or what sort of alignment they're in, it also can oftentimes end up with something like, you know, their number one corner lined up on Key Smith or on a running back, and then Kyle Pitts or, you know, Drake London gets the linebacker because of the way the defense is called. So those sorts of smart schematic things are what you can do if you're willing to be flexible with how you use your running back and then move them around, that sort of thing. So, you know, I'm excited to see if that continues as well. Brave Dirty Hawk with the $10. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. He says, go get you some more beer, buddy. Love the coverage you're providing. And stiff arm Will McFadden when you see him at training camp. Oh, I will. Don't you worry, guys. I'm going to make Will run, all right? You know, I don't know if you guys see someone running around on the practice field, like on the sideline. That's me. Like, I literally run from drill to drill. Because these guys are quick. You know, they're quick in terms of how quickly they get these drills going. They don't, you know, wait for me. They don't wait for anyone. They're like, they'll have a drill over here, and then they'll like reconnect in the middle, and then they'll like spread out to like multiple sides, and you got to sort of be quick about which one you go to. So I'm gonna make Will run. Don't worry about that. All right. Mad Tom K. Not to be harsh, but motioning players, you know, your skill guys should be standard in a modern offense. You're absolutely right. So, you know, I would think that it would be more standard. Yeah, also, you know, bots seem to like the idea of stiff arming Will. I know, yeah, that definitely got me excited too. So, Yeah, guys, like I said, please like and subscribe. I really appreciate everyone donating. If you're willing, if you're looking, you know, willing to donate, obviously, the link to that's in the show description. You can also join us on Patreon, patreon.com/falcoholiclive. For the patrons that are here, I'm going to post about it, but I am thinking about a Q&A session for Sunday, perhaps. George, you know, the bots are right there. You could just DM them. You know, they're right there. Welcome in, George Costanza. Happy to see George around. I know George has been really busy. One of the OG, I think the OG patron, and one of the OGs of the show. So thank you so much for coming in, George. Yeah, what are the bots' takes on camp? I need to know. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting to meet up with Will and Adnan. We're gonna have a good day out there tomorrow. Yeah, I'll make those guys run. Don't worry. We're going to see how in shape all these guys are. You know, most of the media, they just hide in the tent, you know, when it gets hot. So, hey, going to have to wake them up, right? Yeah, George, I mean, you are the opposite of every man that they've ever met, right? The girls. So I think I would use that line on them. I think that worked pretty well for George Costanza and Seinfeld, right? So I've been watching the show. So I'm ready to do some Costanza jokes. I have been watching it. It's a great show. Yeah, guys, let me get to the rest of my notes real quick. No problem being late, George. I'm just happy to see you, man. All right. Yeah, I mentioned Geronimo Allison playing with the first and second team. I do have to shout out, once again, quarterback tight end extraordinaire Felipe Franks. Who had another good day, you know, defying all expectation. Look, Franks had a good practice. He, like I said earlier in the show, like when they did their final sort of like team session at the end for the whole, you know, who's winning all the marbles sort of thing. The offense almost got the first down on third and long after a sack, by Desmond Ridder going to Felipe Franks on a deep pass, and Franks got forced out of bounds just shy of the first down, but he had a big catch and run that was very impressive. And look, he's made plays every single day. The coaching staff clearly likes him. They have said that he's going to remain listed as a quarterback. He's going to play some quarterback. He will get some quarterback reps, but going to play mostly tight end in camp. So I don't know if that means like he's going to play quarterback in the preseason. I imagine it does. Like, until we see them sign another quarterback, it sounds like Franks is probably just going to get the reps, you know, in the fourth quarter or whatever, which I'm fine with. Like, why bother bringing in a camp arm that you know you're going to cut, right? Like, there's no point. Like, a lot of teams do. Some teams have 4 or 5 quarterbacks in camp. Like, there's no way you can really evaluate all those guys. Some of those guys are just, they're just bodies for you. So, you know, I think that I'm impressed, you know, with Felipe Franks. I think he is working his way to roster favorite, not just like, I think he's going to make the roster, but like, if he keeps playing like this, like he will be a roster favorite sooner than later. So definitely impressed with Felipe Franks. Shout out to him. And even Kyle Pitts was complimentary of him today. He was, you know, someone asked like Kyle Pitts, like, hey, you know, Felipe Franks transferring to tight end, how hard has that been? And Pitts was like, I don't really think it's been hard for him at all. Like, Franks is super smart. Like, he's just a great athlete. He's a quarterback. He already knows the offense. So it's really not as hard of a transition for him as you might think. You know, it's just picking up the finer things for him and learning mostly the blocking, I think. And, you know, you could see it out there. Like, Franks is a terrific athlete. He was like a really high-end athlete in terms of RAS at quarterback. I believe he was a very good tight end as well. Let me pull it up real quick just to see. But, you know, he's going to have a role on this team. Arthur Smith really likes these sort of receiving focused tight ends, which you might think is kind of weird considering he likes to run a lot of 12. You know, typically guys often like want good blockers out there, and Arthur Smith does want one good blocker for sure. Like, he always wants one good blocker, but he really has a preference for these receiving focused smaller tight ends. You see it with Anthony Firkser, you see it with Jonnu Smith, you know, Michael Pruitt. He has a type of guy that the Titans went after. And you know, the Falcons also similarly, like Braden Lenius was a guy like that. John Rain is a guy like that. Tucker Fisk is a guy like that. So they have this type that they're bringing in. And Franks seems to be the favorite of that group to sort of take on that role. Yeah, so like Franks at the combine was almost 6'6", great tight end height, 34-inch arms, 10-inch hands, both great for a tight end. 4.61, which is actually a 93 percentile speed for a tight end. So when I was telling you guys about, you know, Troy Andersen being faster than, you know, all tight ends except Kyle Pitts, maybe, like, that's what I mean. Like, a 4.6 is a 93 percentile speed for a tight end. Troy Andersen runs a 4.42. So don't compare other tight ends to Kyle Pitts. Like, Kyle Pitts is one of one. You know, Troy Andersen is, like, drastically faster than the vast majority of tight ends. So, Franks, though, is a very athletic tight end prospect. He's an 8.19 RAS at tight end. So, and that was when he was 234. I think he looks more like 240, 245 to me. You know, I don't think he's like as thick as like a big, like, you know, John Fitzpatrick. Definitely not as thick as Tucker Fisk. Tucker Fisk gets the thick boy award. Like, that dude is absolutely jacked. He's a former edge rusher, I believe. So, you know, he knows how to, I'm sure he hits the weight room. That's not going to be an issue for him. But talking about Fisk, actually, it was worth mentioning Fisk actually played quite a bit of fullback today. So it seems like they're cross-training him there. Similarly to John Rain, who was like is nominally listed as a tight end, but has mostly played sort of that fullback role. And I think Fisk, I've heard that Fisk was doing a bit of that in OTAs as well from some people that have been paying attention. So that is something to monitor. You know, I do think that Keith Smith's job is safe this year. You know, going forward, again, Smith is a veteran. He's a great special teamer. But keeping a pure fullback, you know, I don't know how long teams will continue to do that, especially if you can get something similar from a tight end, like hybrid player. You know, bringing in guys like John Rain and Tucker Fisk certainly makes you think that the team is trying to consider maybe going to an extra tight end as opposed to just a fullback. You know, maybe Keith Smith starts playing tight end. I don't know. He's definitely on the small side for that. But Fisk has made some, I think he's caught the ball well. He hasn't played a ton with the starters, but I think he's caught the ball well. And like I said, he's absolutely jacked. So, you know, that's definitely going to help in the blocking department, I'm sure. Hard to evaluate that now, like I said, without full contact, but definitely something to monitor. We got Jason Gaines with the $3. Thank you so much, Jason. Kevin, if you want some good bread and pastries made from scratch daily, check out Great Harvest Bread in Johns Creek. Two Urban Licks near the Beltline has really good food. I had their chicken and waffles on Sunday brunch. It was really good. I will check that out. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate that, man. Yeah, guys, let me check to see. I'm getting near the end of my notes here. So if you guys get any final questions or any donations that are coming in, get those in maybe in the next like 5-10 minutes or so, just so I can wrap up and, you know, get some sleep at some point, probably at the Waffle House. You guys know how it is. Yeah, like I said, Drake London, Bryan Edwards, I think were the top two receivers in terms of like most impressive days. You could check my feed for those catches. Edwards in particular had a great catch there. He had multiple good catches. Really impressed with how that's going. I'm getting a lot of questions about the punter. There have been no punts, absolutely zero punts so far. I don't know what the hell Bradley Pinion and Seth Ferdin are doing, but as far as I know, I have not heard a punt. They've used the little blaster, you know, the kicking machine, the ball throwing machine that like shoots out balls for return. That's been the only returns they've done so far. They have not punted at all. I'm assuming that they're working with the long snapper, you know, working on that stuff. That's probably what they're doing, but I haven't actually seen any punts. And there haven't been any like full special teams drills where we've seen a punter, you know, involved. So there's literally nothing I can report on the punters because I haven't seen any plays. So, you know, nothing to report yet. Again, like, I think Bradley Pinion makes a ton of sense for this Falcons team considering he's the same exact age as Younghoe Koo. So that makes sense in terms of this could be a long-term duo. He's really good where Koo is not so good, which Koo's an excellent onside kick guy. His kickoffs have been consistently below average. He's not a great kickoff guy. Bradley Pinion is one of like the top three, I would say, kickoffers. I don't know. There's a place kicker, you know, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Like kickoff specialists. Pinion is one of the best consistently kickoff specialists in the NFL. So he really complements Koo well in that area. He's been a largely above average punter as well throughout his NFL career. Last year was a bit of a down year, but he was hurt. So, you know, I think you could probably easily tell yourself the story that, like, you know, Pinion was hurt. He'll bounce back. So I think that he has a leg up because he's a veteran, because he's great on kickoffs. And Seth Vernon is a very good, interesting UDFA. I think, you know, before they signed Pinion, I would have been comfortable with them just rolling with Seth Vernon because maybe he was that impressive. But it's going to be tough for Vernon to sort of supplant Pinion. I do think they're likely to keep Vernon around on the squad. They often, last year, they kept some sort of kicker player on the squad. So I do think Pinion is going to win the job, but we haven't seen much yet. We probably will get our best look at that in the preseason. You know, hopefully it won't be like last year where the player we evaluated the most was the punter, you know, for much of last preseason, unfortunately. But, you know, it is what it is. George Costanza with the $10. Here's my donation for you to use to eat Cookout, the best fast food restaurant ever. Get the big double tray, 2 beef quesadillas, and a Cheerwine float. Put 2 ranch chicken wraps on the side. Best lunch you'll ever have. So good you might move here. Yeah, George, people were saying that to me in Mobile too for the Senior Bowl to hit Cookout. There was a Cookout there as well. So I will have to, the ultimate, it sounds exactly like the place I would have gone to Nosh at like 3 a.m. In college. At UCF, I would always hit the Steak and Shake that was like right around the corner from my apartment. So, you know, it sounds like a very similar vibe, except like you get like a ton of food. So definitely sounds good. Thank you so much, George. Appreciate that, man. All right, let's see. Yeah, Derek was asking about how the guy we signed from the Packers, Henry Black, the safety, how he's looking. I saw him like on like a handful of reps. Like he was out there for the drills. I don't think they've really like incorporated him into the team drills at all yet. Like this is a guy who got here like today. Like I'm sure he showed up to the branch like yesterday evening, signed his contract, and like he's on the field working out today. And like that's how it goes in training camp. You're gonna have to get out there quick if you want to make an impact. But he was not like playing a lot in the team sessions to where you could really evaluate him. I do think he's like at least intriguing. He played 17 games for the Packers last year. He had some production in like under 300 snaps. So certainly someone worth keeping an eye on. But not anything really to go off of yet in terms of an evaluation, in terms of his play. George says he usually gets a Heath Reese shake. That sounds pretty good too. Sounds pretty good. Yeah, I know there's been questions about the defensive line and the front seven. You know, like I said, it's hard to evaluate the trench guys in like a serious way without full contact. So I can't really speak to that. I mean, I could speak to the alignments. It definitely seems like they view Taquan Graham as one of the starters. He was out there pretty frequently with that starting group, especially in the base package. Same thing with like Ogundeji, playing mostly in the base package. Grady Jarrett was a fixture. Anthony Rush was the starting nose tackle entirely. So I think that I like the look of that group, but again, it's hard to judge really at this point, just because we haven't seen that much from them without full contact. Hopefully Monday we'll get to see that, like full contact. We'll get to see a little bit more of that sort of work, as long as they don't hide them on the far field like they did last year. fingers crossed, right? Jay Diaz asks how the linebackers are looking. I've been impressed. I was pretty surprised to see Rashawn Evans getting as much work as he did. I figured he would be the one that kind of got subbed out more because of his limitations in coverage. But honestly, like, Rashawn Evans is playing the most snaps of any of the linebackers. Michael Walker probably playing the second most snaps. And then Nick Kwiatkowski playing the third most. You know, we'll see if that changes. They were all rotating in frequently. If they ever play a 3 linebacker set, like 3 off-ball linebackers, they would all 3 be on the field. I did think like Nate Landman looked good. You could tell that he's not as athletic as Troy Anderson, but I think he's very smart and instinctual. He knows where he's supposed to be. That's just a really good recipe for a depth linebacker. I think that and Dorian Etheridge too, honestly, like that's a really tough battle. It reminds me of like Errol Thompson, you know, versus Dorian Etheridge last year. And, you know, it may come down to special teams once again. You know, right now, it's tough to name a favorite because I think Dorian Etheridge has looked good, and he has that year of experience with the team. So maybe you could say slightly the advantage goes to Dorian Etheridge because I assume that Deion Jones will get cut. And if Deion Jones gets cut and they keep five linebackers, one of these UDFAs is making it. It's either going to be Dorian Etheridge or Nate Landman. It's a tough battle. I like them both right now. And I think the other three linebackers have looked pretty good. So am I seeing a lot of Lorenzo Carter? Lorenzo Carter is playing the most of any edge. I would say Lorenzo Carter is the edge one, clearly. He is playing a ton. He's playing in coverage. He's playing in run defense. He's playing in pass rush. And he's good. Like, he's a good player. But again, it's tough to evaluate, you know, without full contact. But Lorenzo Carter is a fixture. Like, he is a starter in the purest sense, in that he's probably going to play in base, play in nickel, you know, drop back in coverage, rush, whatever you want. He's sort of like the Swiss Army knife out there. So that's a good spot for him, and I like that. Arnold Ebiketie and D'Angelo Malone definitely working in with the starters too. Ebiketie's pretty much entirely with the starters. Malone sort of goes back and forth, but frequently is with the starters too. So those young guys are definitely getting a lot of work with that starting group. Is Taquan Graham playing on the end or inside? I mean, technically, a lot of times he's playing like 3-4 defensive end, but he's inside. Like, the outside linebacker edge guys are actually the ones on the outside. Taquan Graham was lined up anywhere between like a 3-tech to a 5-tech alignment. You know, on one, it seems like on one side, they usually have like a 3-tech. That's usually Grady Jarrett when they do that, or like a pass rushing specialist, like a Vincent Taylor, Marlon Davidson, that guy. And then they have like a 5-tech, 3-4 defensive end sort of player. And then they have the two outside linebackers, if they're playing that 3-4 look. I did see some like quasi 4-3 looks too, you know, so we'll see how that goes. You know, a lot of times Vincent Taylor and Davidson and Grady Jarrett are working in those sets. So there's going to be a lot of rotation. There's going to be a lot of sort of permutations there, but I think it's, I like the way it looks. I like the sort of scaffolding, you know, the structure they're building there. I think those guys are all doing a good job. How's the corners looking? I mean, the coverage in general has been very good. You know, from the safeties to the cornerbacks, it's been solid all the way around. The corners are an extension of that. You know, I think AJ Terrell has obviously been awesome. Casey Hayward has been kind of quiet, which I think is good for a quarterback too. He did give up a catch today to somebody. I think he gave up a catch to like Drake London or one of the big receivers. Maybe it was Bryan Edwards. You know, it was a tough battle. You know, and Hayward just got beat on the route. I think it was one-on-ones, you know, which is tough for the DBs in one-on-ones always, but, nothing like alarming about Hayward. He's going to be good. Terrell's going to be good. Mike Ford, I've been happily, you know, surprised by in the slot. Isaiah Oliver's getting up to speed. And then you've got your safeties. Honestly, Jalen Hawkins and Richie Grant have both been pretty impressive. Like, I think both of them have looked very good. What you've hoped for, certainly, if you were wanting them to be your week one starters, they have remained the starters all 3 days. Those two are playing together all the time. They will sometimes have a rotation where they go out and then, you know, Dean Marlowe and Eric Harris come in together. So it seems like right now, like, the plan is for Hawkins and Grant to be the two starters, and then Harris and Marlowe are sort of the reserves. They may rotate in more as camp goes on or whatever, but, the secondary as a whole, I think, has been one of the best aspects of the team, which is what we were expecting. I think people were sort of maybe a little bit concerned about safety, but I've come away from these first 3 days a lot more confident in the safety play to at least be like serviceable to good, as opposed to being like, oh God, there's a big problem. I think that group is going to be fine, and the corners are going to be really good. So we will see. We'll see how that develops, but I think so far the secondary has been as good as we were hoping, and is once again going to be the strength of the team. Hopefully the safety play, you know, will go along with that this year. Just scroll through my stuff real quick just to make sure, but I believe that's all my notes today. Yeah, what time tomorrow? I don't know if you're talking about the show or the practice. The practice is bright and early. Practice is going to start at like, you know, 9:30 again or whatever. I'll try to do the show again at 8, you know, as usual. That seems to be a good time in terms of what time I finally finish uploading my like 3,000 clips and finishing the notes and all that stuff. So just pencil in 8. You know, it may be a little bit later if I need the extra time, but I think probably around 8 is good. And then, yeah, bright and early I'll be there in the morning. Make sure you guys say hi if you're there, you know, you can yell at me on the sidelines. I won't be embarrassed. You know, you guys can, you know, shout me out, you know, to all the media members and be like, oh, that nobody else is calling, you know, my name as media, you know, so you can make them feel really self-conscious. Jay says I'll be on time tomorrow. Good. You know, it's, you're going to get a demerit if you don't show up on time. Fun show, guys. Thank you for coming on. I'm enjoying doing these, little bit of a stream of consciousness thing. I think tomorrow we'll have either Will or Adnan, or maybe both. I don't know if we're gonna be able to do a live recording just because I have to bring all this like equipment to do that. You know, I love my new laptop to death. My new laptop is awesome. It's a beast, all this stuff. It does not have a built-in webcam, which I'm fine with because I would never want to use that anyway, but it doesn't mean I have to like lug around my webcam. I have to lug around my like, you know, ring light that's up here. I gotta get my microphone. I should post a shot of my like mobile setup because I have a portable monitor. You know, you guys can take a look at this. Because I'm impressed by it myself. So you guys got I got my my laptop here, and then we got the portable monitor, and then I got there's my ring light. You know, so this is like a whole like setup. So I got to like take that. You know, I've set a certain expectation for the quality of the show. So I got to like take that stuff wherever we go. So that may or may not come to fruition, but we should at least get them on the show, get some takes together. It's actually not that bad, Corey. It all fits in one carry-on in my backpack. I'm very efficient. I got, you know, the little portable monitor like goes flat. It's not like a full computer monitor, it like folds flat. You can just put it in like one of those little laptop pouches. And then I have, you know, my laptop's like a 14-inch laptop. It fits right in my backpack. You know, so I don't even need to check a bag. It just goes right in the carry-on. So it's all very, you know, I got a system here. I got a system. After the Senior Bowl, we had some technical difficulties, and I really overhauled everything. And, you know, a lot of that thanks goes to you guys for, you know, you patrons. Like, you know, I don't just, like, go splurge that Patreon money on, you know, wings and beer. You know, some of it definitely goes to wings and beer. But a lot of it goes to the equipment, to upgrading the show, to getting new programs, you know, the Google Hangouts. The premium for that, you know, so we can have the high quality guest appearances in here. So that, you know, your money is going to somewhat to good use. You know, let's not get carried away. Sometimes I want to buy Steam games, you know, or like I say, wings and beer. But you know, I do try to keep using it and reinvesting it in the show. And, you know, the tips I do share with the co-host as well. During the fundraiser, it goes to the fundraiser. I've tried to make that clear. So there's no, you know, sketchiness going on here, but, the co-hosts do get a cut of stuff too. So, you know, I try to share the wealth and share the love. And you guys have done that for me, helped me share the love here. Unfortunately, the podcast audience won't get the full beauty of seeing the whole setup here. But if you guys are interested, it's right about, like, I would say, like, 1:17 or so in the video recording. So if you want to, like, go back and watch, you know, to get a look at it, then you can do so. But we appreciate all you podcast listeners as well, everyone, for tuning in. Like I said before, like and subscribe. That really helps us out. Leave a comment after the show's over, even if it's something silly. That is important for the algorithm. Don't ask me to, you know, explain why Google does anything that they do. The funding is like really small to make it look, but we're at 272 out of 500. So that's 54%. So we're coming along. We got four more shows at camp tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday. I don't know if I'll actually have the final one on Wednesday. It might be on Thursday, but that will be the final part of the fundraiser. So we do have time, and you guys have been doing great. So we really appreciate that. We're well underway, and we're off and running here at camp too. So Corey's like, oh yeah, Kevin can't get back to New York if you don't fund it. Unfortunately, I can't make that claim because I already bought the round trip ticket. So you know, that would, I can't make that claim. But you know, whatever helps, right? Whatever helps, you know, get you on the donation train. But no, it's totally optional, guys. I do really appreciate it. I appreciate all the support though. Everyone who comments, everyone who retweets and likes and follows and all that good stuff. So whatever you could do, this money's tight now. I get it. Like I'm not going to be upset, you know, don't feel like obligated to do so. But if you want to, the option is there. We appreciate it. We'll just keep bringing you all this glorious Falcons coverage, more tomorrow. Football's almost here. Like JD has said, smell football right around the corner. It is right there. And we're ramping things up. Today's practice was a little bit more energetic, a little bit closer to contact. I think tomorrow we might see more of that too. They want to put on a show for the fans. I'm looking forward to it. There could be some fireworks. So thank you guys once again for tuning in tonight. I will see you guys tomorrow early on Twitter, and then again tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Saturday for the next Falcoholic Live Day 4 practice recap. Thank you guys for 201 great episodes. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, guys, have a great night. Get some sleep. See you at the branch tomorrow. Until then, have a great night, guys.